Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're keeping on keeping on with issues 4, 5, and 6 of The Eternals by Kieran Gillen, Esad Rivitch, and Matthew Wilson. Let's go.
Oh, no. Oh, there it is. Sorry for screaming at you. I was trying to get that pulled up while the music was going.
Tori's not here to cue stuff for us today, so Drew is literally cueing the music, the angles, and talking at the same time while we do this, so it gets a little tricky.
Speaking of, no, I'm not actually cueing
angles at the time right now.
At the moment, because I forgot that I'm in charge of that already. Yeah. So I hope you enjoyed that shot of Eternals for a long time.
That's a good thing for them to look at. The art's pretty sweet.
And I have it on me this whole time that
we're talking.
Let me put it on you.
This is going to be a fun episode.
Yeah.
I did the first one, and there were several moments where I was like, oh, yeah, Drew's talking.
You were a master compared to what I'm doing right here. Like, I watched that episode, and I was impressed. And I am not impressed with the first, 2 minutes of this episode right now.
Well, we're going to hope that it gets better with time.
If you're listening, you probably are curious what's going on. Yeah, it's every couple days, I feel like, we change our setup. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those. So check out the YouTube, and you can see me attempt to switch camera angles through this.
Yeah.
And also cue, because I'm cueing the sound effects live. You want to see? I just did that.
Ooh. How's he doing that? That's for when one of us has to think.
Yeah. It should just be on the whole time for me.
Yeah. Constantly thinking. So we have a fun one for y'all today. If you caught our last episode of The Eternals, we're going to finish off this short little arc with 4, 5, and 6. Really, we're going to zoom through 4 and 5 because there's good stuff that happens, but it doesn't deserve us to just vomit all over it. So we're going to hope that you do what you do in a book club, especially this comic book club, and actually go read it. I say this every few episodes. Go download Marvel Unlimited, especially if you buy it yearly. It's $69. Mm-hmm. Nice. It's such a good deal. It's such a nice deal for that amount of time. You break that down. What is that? $7 a month, something like that. Yeah. $6, $7.
I was afraid I was going to look over there.
Thousands of comics.
And see that I hadn't actually hit record. Dang it. Hadn't actually hit record on the thing, but I did. So.
You're not terrible.
Oh, yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Just let's revisit that at the end of this episode.
How terrible you are.
Yeah.
If you want to reach out to us personally before this episode is over and let us know how terrible Drew is, you can find us where, Drew?
You can find us at Two Man Comic Book on Twitter with the number 2, at Two Man Comic Book Club on Instagram and Facebook. If you've been listening, I mean, this is 88 episodes, actually more than that, because there are some that weren't numbered, like minisodes and rotisodes.
Yeah.
So, but we have a Patreon, and if you join that and contribute, maybe we'll be able to make ways that this gets better. So that's patreon.com/2man comic book club with the number 2.
Yeah, there's some really cool tiers on there. One of them, you get your own superhero theme song. Yeah, if you're curious about what that is, go check that out.
Yeah, and we've got some other tiers that we're thinking about adding in. So check it out. Seriously, we got some really awesome stuff, one of which we'll talk a little bit more about in what you've been reading, you.
Yeah.
But there is one thing that I wanted to talk about is our Discord. We have some nice chats going on in there, and there's one thing. Last year we started a Christmas giveaway.
Yes.
So we're doing that again. So find us, find this on YouTube. Leave a comment with the hashtag #2ManChristmas2021, or give us a phone call on the Two Man Hotline. 662-MAN-FAN-8 and tell us what comics you want for Christmas. All of these different ways, subscribe, leave ratings and reviews. We'll factor all those together to draw, to give somebody or somebodies a comic book or two.
Yeah.
And also we want to extend it even further and start the two-man Secret Santa. And in order to do that, you have to join the Discord. The link is down in the description for YouTube. You should be able to click on it on YouTube. Some podcast apps do not allow you to click on it for some reason.
Right.
But as Alex mentioned in the last episode, if you happen to be running an Apple iOS device, you can screen. Is it specifically the phones or do the iPads work too?
Anything running iPad OS, iOS, or Mac OS now, okay. I believe. If you are running the latest software, so you have to update it. So, but if you're updated on your stuff, it should work.
Yeah. So you can just find the link on there, screenshot it, and then maybe click on it.
Yeah, well, you can at least copy and paste it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right. So we want you to do that because it should be cool. Give the gift of comics this year.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun last year, and there were only truly a handful of people that did it. But I mean, we have a little bit of a bigger following now, so it'd be just a cool way. It's not anything that's mandatory, but it is a fun way to give the gift of comic books and just show that you care about the community a little bit. A lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. We don't have an extended What You've Been Reading, Yo, but I What You've Been Reading, Yo, nonetheless.
Yeah. So, yeah, in case you've been reading, yo. In case you haven't realized, we are wearing the same thing from the last episode because we're starting to try to double things up.
Yeah.
So I already talked at length. Well, not at length. I didn't go into crazy detail, but I did read a lot recently. And something I didn't mention is that if you've been listening, you may have heard me and Alex mention Alex and Drew read the New 52.
Yeah.
It was just an idea. Now we're really working on developing it into its own show.
Its own new podcast.
Yeah. So I started that. Like, we're still toying around with the format. Do we want to go chronological, like release? Or that's two different things. Mm-hmm. Do we want to go chronologically? Or do we want to go release order? Because a little bit into the New 52, we jump back. So I'm still toying with it, but I assuming we go chronological, which may or may not happen, I went back and I started reading Dial H for Hero, like number zero.
Yeah.
That rhymes. And also Demon Knights.
Yeah.
Number zero.
I think I read both of those as well because I saw that you had read them. Oh, and I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll just try to keep up.
So
it is hard. There's so many. How many comics is this whole thing? I mean, it's 6 years worth, right?
It's, I think this one's 4 years.
Okay, four years worth. Even so,
it's like 5 or 6,000. Like, I think if you just read, sorry, I didn't switch to myself. If you just read the actual thing and you don't dig into the events that happen within,
right?
It's like 2,500. But there's another like 1,000 or two that are just events that happen within it. So maybe it's like 3,500.
That is so many comics, but we're going to do it. It's going to give us a lot of content to cover.
Yeah.
By the time we're done, though, I feel like I'll be able to speak pretty well on DC characters.
Yeah.
That's my main goal for this. It's just I want to dive in to the New 52, even if it's not the main continuity. Although, didn't something recently happen that it's just like all continuities are allowed now.
I mean, I feel like I heard that from Ryan, maybe made that comment, like something about the Omniverse is kind of like, I just thought of this. The Omniverse is the Schrodinger-verse, where everything is canon and everything is not canon. Everything can be canon and everything can be its own isolated thing. I don't know if anybody's made that that comment before, but I just thought of it. Now, that's me being very ignorant. I don't actually know the deal with it, but that's kind of my understanding.
Ryan, if you're listening, hit us up on Twitter and let us know what the deal is.
Yeah.
Either way, it's going to be good. There's so many characters that I'm going to learn about. I'm just excited to hopefully level it a little bit because I know way more about Marvel than I do about DC.
And if you are specifically interested in that happening, like following along without having to read all 30,000, all three, whatever. A good way to help us make sure that gets done right is with our Patreon. I'm sorry to be like,
oh, we're going to be plugging one-trick that bad boy pony for everywhere.
But it could be really helpful.
Yeah, so it just gives us a little more resources to make sure that we can do this and not be panic reading, and it just helps. It helps, y'all. Let's make the two-man podcast and ampersand 52 the biggest thing on the internet.
Alex, what's ampersand 52?
So Drew and I have the name Alex and Drew Read the New 52, and then we thought, okay, we need to get social media accounts for these. How do we do this? And we thought, okay, let's just use the acronym of Alex and Drew Read the New 52. And when Drew first sent it to me, I just like an idiot.
Hashtag A-N-D-R-T-N-52.
Yeah. So being a dummy, as we do when we text each other, I just joked and pretended that I was really bad at reading, and that acronym spelled out ampersand 52.
And I think it'd make a good t-shirt.
And then I actually just typed an ampersand with a number 52, and it actually has it an aesthetic good. Appeal to it.
So hashtag Anderton 52, hashtag ampersand 52, one and the same thing.
So I think there's something there. We might be just shoehorning that into continuity, even if it doesn't make sense. Yeah. And then suddenly we'll become synonymous with the logo.
Yeah.
And it may or may not have spinoff ramifications as well for the future, but that's probably years down the road. I digress, though. Super excited for the future of two-man podcasts and then spinoff podcasts and maybe our own little comic book podcast network. Lots of cool stuff. But before we get onto the new 52, we got to get through Kieran Gillen and Esther Beach. I had to Google that, by the way. Mm-hmm. And Matthew Wilson's Eternals, because there's some cool stuff happening in here.
Sorry, I just did a fancy wipe on the thing,
and
I was looking at it, and it just made me laugh. So if you're listening to the podcast, you should really check out the YouTube channel.
Yeah, Drew's playing with the switcher right now. So basically, we're going to like hyper quick, the fastest maybe that we've ever gone through a comics.
I feel like I made it through one of the Flashpoint comics
in
approximately 10 seconds.
This isn't going to be memorable. But
that wasn't like, that was a tie-in. So maybe one of the ones like, the fastest we've made it through a comic book whose name is actually the title of this episode.
Right. So basically, I'm going to pull up number 4, tell you about it. We're just going to show covers more or less. In number 4, we're still trying to figure out who is the person that killed the Prime Eternal, starts with a Z.
Zaris?
I think Zaris, that's
Zaris.
Right. Yeah. So Cersei meets with Phastos and basically kind of alludes that she's going to talk to Tony Stark to make sure that they keep the Avengers off their back with the fact that Thanos is kind of on the loose and the Eternals don't know where he's at. And we get to this point where, if you recall, Druig went to his home, noticed everybody was basically dead, and it would kind of imply that he was taking over there politically. And Thana and Kingo show up and kind of have some small talk, and it kind of alludes to this this flashback of a moment between Druig and Kingo, where Kingo, at this point 10,000 years ago or something like that, is trying to stop this war on Earth by killing the general. He shows up, and Druig was already kind of mingling with this army. And Druig kind of has this thing of playing mind games a little bit. Kingo gets into the tent of the general about to kill him and then stops, like he can't go through with it. And then they find out the next morning that that general had a heart attack and died. So it happened anyway. The war stopped. But then they go down this kind of like rabbit hole of butterfly effect conversation. Like, isn't it funny to think that a missed heartbeat was the only thing that stopped this? What would have happened if you had actually killed him? Would it have stop the war the same way, or would it have led to more duress and more things? So anyway, just shows a little more character development and relationship development between those two characters. We also have Sprite down with, what's his name? Robson?
Toby Robson.
Toby Robson, the boy that Icarus is guarding because he had the vision earlier on. Sprite is on the ground with this boy kind of as a ground level thing. It got a little weird with Icarus flying around, so Icarus was like, okay, Sprite, you stay down there with him. If something gets bad, I'll literally be up in the clouds watching from afar just to make sure nothing happens. There's some deeper stuff that I would strongly encourage you to read because we are glossing over it, but kind of some weightier, heavier stuff, some talks about death and how maybe people quantify and qualify that just in their own minds when they're talking about it and talking with close ones. But especially in the context of Icarus saw this kid dying and him being at fault, it's definitely appropriate for the context of the story. So I would encourage you to read this. Don't just take the surface level or the high sky level of what we're doing here. And then that's basically it, right? Nothing else. I mean,
we do have.
Oh, yeah. This is massive.
Our boy Thanos.
Thanos shows up. And let me get to these panels over here. And he's with Druid, Kingo, and Thana. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm running all this stuff at the same time, and it's loading in real time. So they start fighting. It's like the first kind of big brawl fight. Here we go. We got some right there. And at first, it looks like they might be able to handle them because there's three Eternals now versus, mm-hmm. I mean, it is still Thanos. But he kind of comes out of this portal. You can see here he's got his hand on him, and there, you know, slams him into the ground. But in this moment of battle, Druig uses like his psychic powers to like kind of have like a psychic fight. Mm-hmm. If you've read some old X-Men comics, you'll read Charles Xavier, I think, has done some cool stuff like with this before as well. But they're kind of fighting mentally, and then you can see here like Thanos, even inside, is, you know, his mental strength is also on par with just his physical mm-hmm. force as well. It's going back out, we see Thanos like stabbing him, telling Kingo to finish him, and then like right when they are about to kill Thanos, he warps through this portal and he's gone again. Mm-hmm. And the machine took him somewhere. The machine doesn't have record of where he is still. Can't find him. It just says he's Schrodinger's serial killer. And then kind of moving on, they're like, okay, get Icarus. We're going to have to go after Gilgamesh, the Forgotten. We're going to need him if we're going to take on Thanos, because even the three of us, as good as we are, we couldn't kill him just now. And then moving forward, Druig kind of leaves, and he goes through this portal, and he's holding a couple what look like T's, and he goes, ah, you noticed my message. And it turns out that during that little fight, he implanted this psychic message on Thanos, basically saying, I can help you. And basically, Druig is like, I have one question. You know, if you needed a traitor, why didn't you come straight to me? Mm-hmm. End of comic. So yeah. Like it's painted before, Druig is kind of this snaky person, and he's going to be another asset to Thanos at this point where the Eternals just experienced Druig trying to help them. So he's almost like deeper undercover. Like yeah. We just saw Druig trying to help us fight Thanos. Surely we don't have to worry about him right now. And that's the end of that issue. Moving right on to Eternals number 5, as soon as this will actually load, we have more or less just some more development, a continuation of the same. Oh, what are we doing? Having issues loading. There's number 5 going here. Okay, so they alluded to this in issue 4. Basically, Cersei takes out Tony Stark, and am I going all the way back to the cover? I just want to show you guys the cover real quick. Cover? Not yet. It's not loading. Sorry. Okay, here we go. So it's pretty sweet. Eternals.
Colonel Sanders.
Same creative team. And going through here, we have Cersei and Tony Stark on this kind of meeting/date. Mm-hmm. Tony probably likes to think it's a date. And it's the same thing we alluded to in issue 4. Cersei's there literally just to like make contact, make sure the Avengers know that nothing is going awry, because they've noticed the Eternal activity on Earth, and Tony, you know, back in issue 1 was like, is this something we need to be worried about? So we quickly find out that this whole thing was a ploy for Cersei to use Tony Stark mm-hmm. as bait to get Gilgamesh, because Cersei basically starts acting like she's killing mm-hmm. Tony Stark, kind of, and I guess Gilgamesh was going to be protecting them.
Well, she even says like, all this stuff like that Thanos had done.
Yeah.
She talks about it being her that did it.
Right.
So she's like assuming that Gilgamesh is somewhere listening.
Right.
And just like apparently he was.
Yeah. Because you can see here, he rips through this portal and starts like attacking her. And she, Tony Stark has like been stunned or something here. It's pretty funny. But anyway, he shows up just as planned. And then suddenly like Cersei calls, she just says, now Icarus. And like he does, he just explodes through and tackles Gilgamesh. And he's like the one that I think it maybe alludes also that they don't get along as well. It seems like Icarus might be a little bit of a hothead and not get along with several of them. Drew mentioned earlier, there's like this funny thing of talking about why Tony Stark is a great thinker. He has many questions right now. The foremost of which is, why did Icarus come through the wall rather than the window? Because he just exploded at the side of Tony's penthouse. And then he says, well, human windows are a relatively new invention. Icarus doesn't see much difference between walls and windows. Literally, he can see through walls, which is kind of a nice touch. Fast forward through all of this. There's more fight. They eventually apprehend Gilgamesh and capture him because Icarus is just strong enough to do so. And then they're interrogating him. And basically, they decide it's not him, right? Like, they figure out, like, okay, Gilgamesh isn't the guy that we're going after. In between that, there's a scene with Thanos and Druig. I think I'm talking so slow because I'm having to remember all these new names that I'm not super familiar with.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, I still can't remember what the prime was.
Right.
Zarig?
Zarris. So Thanos and Druig are off in the network subdimensional threads, wherever that might be. And they're talking. Yeah, Jersey. And Thanos is basically saying, something's wrong with me. And he opens up his chest and it's like repairs have been made that aren't actually there. Like it's something that happened to him at another time. They actually are some editor's notes that in Guardians of the Galaxy number 6 from 2019 that kind of alludes to that. But essentially, this might be something that is allowing him to move through those networks that we figured out. Like, those might be more eternal parts inside him or something like that. Moving forward, we see the back end of them interrogating Gilgamesh and finding out, okay, it's not actually him.
Yeah. It takes a while to get there, but...
Yeah, Thane is like, release him. He didn't do it.
Yeah.
And we get to this point where... Let's see. Where is it? Sorry. Ah, back in the loom. We find out... No, we still... Hold on. I don't want to butcher this.
Yeah. It gets confusing.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of this takes many pages to unfold.
Right.
And there might be like two panels that just divulge everything. And it's just tough, you know. So this is why we say read it.
Right. Where is it? Because we don't find this... There's a plot point, a plot turn coming up, and I just don't want to spoil it. Oh, okay. We go back to where all these crimes were committed, and Gilgamesh is like actually helping them find stuff now. And basically, they find out that there's a spot that like it's been sabotaged, like the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And Druig already knew about this, and he's like, any scientist of note would have found it if they looked hard enough. I can't believe it. I even told Fastos how I did it.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly there's this revelation that there was this broken part of the machine that is allowing these infiltrators to get in and kill Eternals, and Fastos knew about it and was playing coy this whole time and acting like he was trying to fix the machine. Mm-hmm. Again, please read all this when we're trying to do a 500-mile-an-hour flyby of what happened. We're a jumbled mess, but we can't cover the comic verbatim. So quickly we pan back to Fastos working on this machine, and they're like telepathically trying to talk to him, like, Fastos, what have you done? Why didn't you find it? And Fastos runs off and he starts talking to Thanos on some communication. Mm-hmm. So it's like quickly guilty. Fastos, the guy that's there, has been the one letting him in, and was the first one at the scene, I believe, when they found, when they found Zarris dead. Fastos is running off. He's talking on his comms to Thanos, and he says, there's someone in the exclusion. They'll be coming here. Stop them. And as soon as they start to teleport the Eternals back to go get Fastos, they walk through in like this awesome panel right here. If you want to switch to this, Drew, Thanos is just hiding above this nook, like waiting to drop down on all of them, and they can't see him.
I'm going to have to look back over my shoulder every time I go through a door from now on.
Yeah.
Just in case Thanos is there.
Yeah, this is a super cool fan. I mean, he just looks menacing here, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
are his eyes normally that red?
No, I think this has something to do with
the heart thing
that they did to him. Cool. So moving forward, we see Fastos like working on this machine, and it's still kind of like, why would he do this? And it just shows him looking back and he's saying, I'm just destroying the Eternals. I'm not destroying the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it says Fastos is wrong. So
yeah,
we haven't done a good job of saying this. several times there have been like weather anomalies happening throughout these comics. Like earlier on when Icarus was with Toby Robinson, this like car-sized hail started coming down on him, and because Icarus is trying to protect him, he just laser beams it out of the air. But there's been that, and there's been just other storm like thunder and lightning. It's like real intense. The earth that has been narrating all this, that is the machine, is like breaking underneath Phastos, breaking the machine to try to take out the Eternals. But there's a parallel of them being together and like being connected, like one can't exist without the other type of thing. And that's the end of it. So that's issue five. All that being said, I think we should probably take a quick break and then really spend a little bit more time getting into the interesting bits of six, because there's a lot of cool stuff that happens. So we will be right back.
And we're back, and we're going to go ahead and jump into number six.
Some sweet cover art for you to check out.
It is pretty intense. So as we're looking through that, I'll just go ahead and say, was this one of those spots that had... can you go to the next page? These moments right here, I think it's just funny. I'm not going to say the whole thing because I just love that the earth sounds... like
a little sassy.
Yeah. It's just like, Phastos, he's a sweetheart. Why would he do such a thing? He doesn't seem to want to destroy me, i.e. the Earth, but he just won't stop. Why? TLDR, beep.
Yeah.
You know,
the Earth cusses.
All of these spots where you have the intro and all that, it's worth reading. Just like in Hawkeye, even though he says, why are you still reading this? It says the same thing every time.
Yeah.
It's worth it every time.
Yeah.
So...
Do you want to take us through the first few panels here, and then
I will attempt. So, hey, you remember we were talking about Thanos' red eyes? They are big and red right here. So we open up, and it says 1 month earlier.
Yeah.
And we have, do you have that pulled up?
Yep.
1 month earlier, Thanos is sitting on a table, and every page kind of pulls out a little bit more, and we see him strapped down and his chest is open and work is happening and somebody's talking from off screen. And it says, welcome back. You know, I was the first that came back. And basically we see that it's Phastos who is doing things. He doesn't really go into exactly what, other than he wants him to be under his control.
Right.
Pretty much. I get kind of a suicide squad type thing where if I do this to you, then, and you don't do something I don't like, then I can take you out.
Right.
So then we jump in and we're back in the fight, that we had just left out. Remember, Thanos was hiding. But he's fighting with Kingo, Icarus, Circe,
and Gilgamesh.
Yeah. And
pretty cool fight scenes with here.
He has like superpower fists, I guess. Makes me think of, you know, I wonder, it's got a certain dark side Omega beams type thing. Like, cause he's shooting and it bounces off.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're fighting, and some things start like portals open.
The earth is breaking during this.
Yeah. And actually I'll just say it now. Like we cut at some point to a scene where the Phastos is like, it's not working. He's sitting there trying to hold the earth together, the machine, and it's just not working.
Yeah.
So this is all intermixed with, this is disgusting. I didn't actually, the one with the fungus. I don't think I looked at it that closely.
Yeah, that's right here.
But anyway, so it makes me squeamish to look at. I'm going to put it back on the wide shot to talk about it. So basically right here, the little talking goes on, and Cersei's talking about how there was this one time when Thanos used this fungal plasma to...
Or She-Hulk used it on...
She-Hulk, yeah.
Or maybe he used it on She-Hulk.
I think that's what it was. And Cersei just like took note of that.
Yeah.
And just pulled it out, because apparently she's like, they all kind of have this matter manipulation ability to like different degrees.
Right.
And Cersei's super powerful, towards like, if she wants to do something, she can do it. All she has to do is, all she needs is an idea.
Right.
So she decides that she's going to just unleash that on him.
Right.
And he's just like slowly getting covered with
this.
I got it
here if you want to pull it back up again. Just two different shots of it. Yeah,
that's the one that made me... I didn't notice it when I was reading last night because when I read in bed, I don't wear my glasses. So anyway, I'm going to once again take it off of that. So they're fighting and they're having an they have an edge on him. Yeah. They're all got him surrounded. He's all fungused up and they're about to like make the killing blow or the incapacitating blow or whatever. And then flash, they all just get teleported to the, you know, random places around the world. Like somebody I think says, I'm in India and somebody's on the North Pole.
Right.
And
during this time, Sprite is with Toby.
Yes.
Last name
is Robson.
Robson. And again, the earth is breaking down where they're fighting and it's starting to break up to the earth. Just apocalyptic, just
it's bad.
Chaos. Like it's bad. And, Toby is like, I'm going to die, like to Sprite. Like he's freaking out. They just had these pretty serious talks. And despite the fact that Icarus was so far away, I think he says he's in the North Pole.
Yeah.
But the network is inaccessible.
Pull this one up.
Right here.
There's been a couple times when Icarus has given me Superman vibes, and this is totally one of them. I mean, even the smile on his face. Look, it says, Arrow lives for this moment, you know, because they keep comparing Icarus to an arrow.
Right.
I mean, like, yeah, that's a total Supes move.
Yeah, he's trying to find out, like, how to get there, and he's like, okay, it doesn't matter that the network is down. Mm-hmm. I'm fast enough to get there.
Yeah.
Because, of course, he is. I like it. I'm going to finish reading what he says. It says, arrows live for the moment. It is a feat of heroism and a power of beauty and grace. Where this another earthly hero, we dwell in it. But Icarus is an eternal. It is simply what he does.
Mm-hmm.
So he zooms in. He's with Phastos now, and he's basically like, what do I need to do? And he's like, you need to reconstruct the central span, but be careful. And he's like, you don't understand. This is going to hurt you because Icarus is just going in like, yeah, whatever. I'm going to do it. I'm Icarus.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have this kind of like side thing of Druig showing up and going into Phastos' mind.
Yeah.
And we get like this Phastos' surface consciousness thing where Druig is again having like mental warfare. It seems to be kind of this thing he specializes in. And then there's like this nice Hickman-esque graph of how that surface consciousness model works for the Eternals.
Essentially, they say all Eternals have a little bit of telepathy. If you're good, you can like get in past and it like has it done. Like if you just want to get in the surface, that's easy.
Yeah.
But like it shows the route that he went in and Druig, I keep forgetting, Druig went into Phastos' personal memory, and you'll find out exactly why in just a minute.
Yeah, so we see Icarus going in to fix basically this core, and it's kind of talking about how he feels calm, even though this is like a truly life or death moment.
Once again, looks like Superman.
Yeah, even the colors, you could absolutely confuse this for Superman. And then we see Sprite and Toby again at the surface level, kind of freaking out. Like, there's a parallel here of like, is this plot point of Icarus keeping this boy alive actually going to work here? Is he going to die here because he failed as an Eternal to stop the deviation of the Earth destroying, you know? So he goes in there. He's going like, I can't tell if this is like the core is so hot or powerful that it's hurting him or if that's like power emitting from him.
I would imagine it's, if he were emitting power, it would be going towards the machine.
Sure.
Is my thought.
So it sounds like it's hurting him more than anything. Yeah. And it does say, like, at the bottom panel, for all the pain, his only real fear is failure. So he's thinking right now, like, don't fail. Don't let that kid die that I saw in that vision.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, behind all of Icarus's targets, there is a fundamental target, one he is always aiming at, to be a hero.
Mm-hmm.
A hero saves. And he basically gets a hold of the thing and holds on, and he makes this sacrifice, and it says the hero sacrifices. Icarus's last thoughts are that he fulfilled his programming.
Mm-hmm.
The arrow hits all targets. He was happy.
And you'll notice in that picture, it was like this column of the machine had been in pieces.
Yeah.
And it's coming back together because of Icarus's sacrifice.
Yeah. So it says those who still lived felt differently.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the Eternals are kind of confronting Phastos and being like, you sabotaged the machine, you brought Thanos here. And Phastos is like, I can destroy him at any moment. If you'd knew, you'd understand why. And he kind of thinks about it. All he has to do, he's like, all I have to do is activate this. And then he pauses and he's like, I can't remember how to do it. So Druig went into his personal memory and made him forget exactly how that he could destroy Thanos. And now Thanos is literally a loose cannon.
Yep.
And there's more hands. They're fighting and getting mad and trying to figure out like what happened. And then suddenly the core systems come on and the Earth is like reactivating resurrection engines online. So we know that Icarus is about to come back even though he just died.
Then they made a comment like, we need to bring Icarus back first because he's our hero. He takes precedence over the Z dude whose name I always forget. Zaris.
Yeah, Zaris. And it makes sense. Like, he's your big gun. Icarus seems to be kind of like, if you're going to beat this thing, if you're going to have any shot against Thanos, you're going to need Icarus with you.
So we have two amazing panels if you want to pull this one up.
Yep.
So as he's coming up, it makes the comment that basically he's coming back to life. And it says, Icarus opens his eyes again, alive again. And then you turn the page. Oh, man. And Toby Robinson dies. And he's able to understand. Like, so that vision of him, because the vision he had was him like screaming out at Toby's his grave.
Right.
Not necessarily with the body. So like now we see, understand his vision was just something that would happen in the future.
Right. You know?
So he's, and we realize, well, am I getting ahead of myself and saying?
Well, I'll just say like, I mean, more or less this is what happens. Like the Eternals are protectors of the Earth, but every time they come back, it's at the expense of a human life. So Icarus coming back just now took the life essence of Toby Robson and killed him.
Yeah.
And he couldn't protect him from that.
And we come to realize Phastos knew that.
Yeah.
And apparently Cersei knew that, but she's known it for a while, it seems.
Right.
And did Zaris know it too? Or did they tell him?
I'm not sure. I don't know, but Phastos is like, we're trapped like this. We're trapped killing them. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, you kind of presume at this point, that's why he was trying to kill the Eternals. He's like, we're killing these human beings. We're not helping them if we're,
and he was,
even if one.
He wanted to destroy the Eternals, but not the Earth. And it was like impossible to separate those two things.
Right. Because they're kind of at the root of everything. You know, there's a hierarchy here.
And, sorry, the camera was just on me through that entire thing, Alex.
No, it's fine.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. So basically, you know, I feel like we can kind of wrap up the end here. This gets to a point of where the Eternals want to change. They want to deviate from this, right?
Ooh.
So they suddenly, they go to Olympia. They're talking to Zaris about what happened.
You mean, oh, never mind, sorry.
Yeah, and basically they're just arguing. Thana is like, this is the way of the Eternals. And then we show them going to Lemuria, where the Deviants are, and Icarus is in front of all of the ones that we've been hanging out with, Cersei, Gilgamesh, Sprite, Kingo, and Thana. And he says, we come in peace to the changing people. We would join you, help us the changing, or help us be changing people too. Which is essentially like saying, help us be deviants, help us be different than we have been before, which is a big deal in the black and white structure that the Eternals and the Deviants have had in their entire history. And then the comic ends and it says, next issue, Thanos rises.
Yep.
Crazy big payoff issue. Yeah.
Had a couple down issues for that big.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just by the way, every time we've been brought back for all of eternity,
right?
A human had to go.
Right.
It's pretty wild.
And there's a lot of interesting things there. Like Phastos, I don't know if it says how he found that out, but he did find out. And the fact that instead of talking to them about it, he just thought, okay, I got to get a weapon that can take them out. Maybe he just knew how that conversation would go. It's kind of understood. They're all really smart, but he's also like especially smart, kind of like a engineer god almost as far as like building and creating things.
You know, did they say something to the extent that this isn't the first time we found this out? Like essentially every once in a while somebody figures it out and they just wipe everybody's memory? Did I make that up?
I think so. That might have been it. So it's
like, how many times have they figured this out?
Right.
This is all that's going to happen is they're going to go back into the Unimind or something like that, and everything's going to go back to like the ignorant times.
Right. Yeah. Really cool issue. I'm not sure what they'll pull from. I mean, this is ongoing. That movie's been shot forever, so I doubt they have this story right away. but super cool. I love the writing. I love the art, you know, for almost all of it. There are a few weird faces.
Yeah.
But just super cool. I do think it's worth going through and reading all six because you get a lot of just meat and potatoes details.
Man, it's kind of like whenever we were covering Vision and like made a point of bringing your attention to the narration, like how important it was.
Right.
It's the same sort of thing here. Like the Earth is the narrator and it brings so much like extra attention. Like, and sometimes it's humor. Sometimes it's like, dude, this is serious, you know, right. type stuff. And because we glossed over it so quickly, you missed it. You've got, go read it. You can find it in your comic shops now. You can get Marvel Unlimited. It's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Any closing thoughts on that one?
No, I mean, as I was reading it, I was thinking I could see how a lot of this could be part of the story.
Yeah.
Whether or not it is exactly, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed it. I'm glad we decided to add it to it. And the art, I loved the art. It was good. It was the same way that I felt whenever I was reading Thor. So it's good.
Doing a
trivia?
Trivia.
Yeah. Or do you have trivia ready?
I think I do. I'm confirming right now.
While he's doing that, I'll improvise on some things and say,
yeah, I'm good.
All right, I'm done.
Nice improvising.
Yeah. So, do you have a faster than?
Yes. Welcome to our two-man trivia, where our lightning round questions are faster than Icarus flying across the other side of the world from the North Pole to get to Phastos.
That was fast.
Wicked fast.
We're tied.
We're tied.
This is the grand finale.
1-1. I'm just going to give you a oneer.
Hey, me too.
And maybe we'll end up tied. You want me to go first?
Sure.
In the Eternals movie, there is a quite famous actor by the name of Kit Harington. You might know him from this little small scale show called Game of Thrones.
I think I've heard of it.
Most people haven't. Pretty okay actor. He is cast in this film as a specific character. In the IMDb, it doesn't actually say who he is, but he is a hero. I'll give you his name is Dane Whitman. Do you know what hero that is?
Probably not.
I wish I'm thinking music.
It's louder than it's supposed to be. No, I have no idea.
Any guesses?
Can you tell me if he was in these issues?
He was not in these issues.
Okay, then I have no idea. Yeah. It's some wild name. I'm going to say...
He's also not an Eternal.
Oh, well, I was going to say Zamkor.
No. Okay. Black Knight.
I knew that.
Did you?
Yeah. But I forgot.
Yeah, I'm like that way. Yeah, so Black Knight. I don't know if we'll actually see Black Knight in costume or don the uniform, but he is a character in this. I'm speculating that he's going to be a human love interest for Cersei or Thena or something like that. Who knows?
And by the way, once again, I'm pretty sure the camera angle was on you the entire time that I was trying to think of those.
Of course.
All right. I was also trying to stall because I had a question and I forgot what it was. And that's it. It wouldn't load for whatever reason. Yeah. Every page on Safari would load except for that one.
Right.
So, I have to remember how I was going to ask this question.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. do you remember the name of the thing that they call it whenever all the Eternals combine their mental and physical power, creating a giant, basically a giant cosmic brain?
I have a guess.
Yes.
But no reason. The hive mind.
You're so close.
Yeah, that's all I got.
I said it earlier, and as soon as I said it, I was just like, and the camera was on me the whole time you were talking.
Great.
I said it, and then I was like, I hope Alex wasn't paying attention because that's my question.
What is it?
The Unimind.
Unimind. Dang. That's what I said.
No, you said hive mind.
I have a German accent.
yeah, sounds exactly the same.
Unimind.
So we have... We're tied.
We're tied at 1-1, and that's where we're stopping.
I feel like we've been tied the last three or four episodes.
Next episode that we tie, we end in fisticuffs. Cool. Any closing thoughts on that one?
I'm really curious.
Yeah, what I want to read more. There's a couple spin-off.
Yeah, Thanos Rises or something?
Thanos Rises. I don't
even
know if it's the same writing team or just team in general, not just writing.
I think it is the
same team. Okay. I'll be interested to keep reading this one. This is an ongoing, so if you're interested as well, you're pretty close to caught up. I think one other issue might be about to come out or is out. But after that, we don't cover too often the real modern stuff. It's ongoing, so... Thought this was a fun one and timely just because the movie was coming out.
So by the time you're watching this, the movie is out. Have you seen it? What'd you think of it? Join our Discord and let us know.
Yeah. Cool. I think that's it from us this time at the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast. Do you have something?
Did we actually give our socials in this episode?
Earlier on, yeah.
We did?
Uh-huh.
I guess I was just so focused on...
Yeah, you've drank a lot of beer since we started.
I was going to say, I was busy... poorly doing camera angles.
It's fine. So, all is forgiven.
All right.
Dark side is. Until next time, we will see you later. Bye. Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our graphic and logo work is done by Tessa Price, and our original compositions and theme music were composed by Drew Morris.